My mama, I am your host, Nicole Kumi, and thank you for tuning in to listen today. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get an episode out this week. We've had a lot of stuff going on, just in life in general, because I'm a mom and I'm a business owner and I'm an employee and a friend and a daughter and all of these wonderful things. But I really have been having some conversations this week and last about a specific topic, as it relates to motherhood and kind of some things. And I really wanted to give a space today to process really about the journey into motherhood. I shared recently with some of my clients and people that subscribe to my newsletter that I am going to be hosting a series of podcast episodes, and I am in the market looking for moms that are willing to share their story to talk a little bit about the postpartum period, how it impacted their life, their, transitional times, have you say, and just really diving into the notion that maternal mental health is real, right? It's been real for a really long time. We just haven't been talking about it. We haven't been highlighting it. We're slowly starting to pull back the covers and expose what's there, but there's still so much work to be done. And over the last week and some change, I had an opportunity to have conversations in different settings, right? I'm used to having conversations with medical providers, with moms, with people that are kind of on the front line and getting an understanding of why maternal mental health is a thing, why it is its own entity and not just lumped in with, kind of behavioral health initiatives, and really just spreading some education and awareness about the importance of taking care of moms, whether it is during pregnancy, in the postpartum period, or continuing on for, quite honestly, the rest of our lives. Conversations, things just kind of like kept giving me those aha moments. And I recognize that not everybody in the world is a mom. Not everybody in the world cares about maternal mental health. And the fact of the matter is, they should, because as a mom, as women, we touch everybody. We are the nucleus of our family. I shared that at a town hall this week. We are the nucleus of the American family. And if we are not being taken care of, we can't take care of other people. So if mom suffers, she's the transition, the transmission in the car. If that goes, nothing else works. It doesn't really matter. You have no choice but to purchase a new transmission or get a new car. And in this sense, you're not going to get a new mom. You're not going to get a new partner and all these things. We're going to fix what's going on. But quite often we wait until it runs into the ground to say, we should probably service this. I know I saw it smoking a couple of weeks ago and the car was running funny, but I just still kept running it into the ground because that's what we do. That's what we do to ourselves. And that is what we let other people do to us when we don't put up those boundaries. So my hope is if I start having conversations, different conversations with different moms from all over the place, moms who look different, moms who sound different, moms who identify as a birthing parent, not actually a mother, moms who work, moms who stay home, we can start really highlighting the fact that maternal mental health does not discriminate. Perinatal mental health, mood and anxiety disorders do not discriminate. And the fact of the matter is, more moms than not are experiencing signs and symptoms related to this, but they're not speaking up. And one of those reasons is because they don't have a platform to do it. Well, I removed that barrier. I am now offering my platform. So if you're tuning in today and you're thinking, I have a story to tell, and you probably do if you're a mother, sign up. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. It's a Google form. Go there. There's four topics that I'm really looking at exploring because I feel like if we can get enough stories to support those topics, we can start reaching moms that might be in the place that you once were in or that I once was in, wondering, is this going to get better? Wondering, is this my life? Wondering, am I going to become somebody completely new? And that's really what I want to talk about today. So that's a plug. If anybody is interested in sharing their story and wants to kind of highlight who they are, how motherhood changed them, didn't change them, redirected them, whatever it was. Let's hop on a call, do a recording. I want to try to highlight as many stories as I can to just normalize what it is that's going on. So when we talk about this normalization, right? So here's the thing. I did a speaking engagement last week talking to some daycare providers. And some people might say, well, what the hell were you talking to daycare providers about maternal mental health? Why not? right? There's no specific place that I'm allowed to go and have a conversation just about maternal mental health. I'm not limited to only have this conversation in a doctor's office or to just have this conversation with mothers that I work with. The more people we have these conversations with, the more moms we reach, and the more we encourage moms to get help, right? And not just get help, because sometimes that's really hard. It's hard to say to a mom, if you're not doing well, speak up and get help. Well, shit, that's just one more thing I have on my plate, and I don't have time to do any of this. So, you know what? I'm just going to have to figure it out. I'm just going to keep going. And that's not the goal. I don't want moms to just keep going in this world when they're not feeling okay. You're that car that's transmission is slowly starting to burn out. But somehow, somewhere, we think if we just keep on driving it, it's going to rectify itself. It does not. It's like an injury. It's the same thing. If you hurt your back and you just keep pushing, you are going to do significant damage, long-term damage that may not be as easily undone as you would hope. But we're still in this place. So, yes, I will talk to daycare providers. I will talk to church members. I will talk to community members. I will talk to people at the grocery store. Because the fact of the matter is, at daycare is typically where moms are their most vulnerable because they're not worried about what anybody's going to think, right? Every mom's wearing her pajamas to drop off. Every mother looks like she has a bad day. Every mother is in a rush. Right. So you're just kind of falling in line with the other moms. Now, unless you're showing up there with no pants on or something else is going on, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, you're just in with the masses. So if you're not doing well, who's really going to see it? Somebody that has some education around it. That's who. The daycare that I just had a conversation with, they're going to know now. But it's not just about knowing, it's about pointing moms in the right direction to get help. And the best way to do that is offer up the information before they ask for it. Because 9 times out of 10, we're not asking for it. I am more likely to take advantage of a resource that's just laying on my desk or somebody put in a packet for me, a welcome packet, something like that at 4 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep and I'm going through difficult times with my newborn. And I look here, what's this? A hotline. Let me call this and see what's going on. I didn't have to ask anybody, which means I didn't have to tell anybody how I was feeling, which means I still get to protect myself. And that's really where we are struggling. We want to protect ourselves through all of this. And we feel like if we speak up, we're weak. That's been going on for quite some time. And that's just, I think, some of our genetic makeup as moms, you know, the wires get crossed a little bit. Speaking up and asking for help is not a sign of weakness, moms. It's a sign of strength. And the fact of the matter is, so many women that I have been talking to over the last, I'd say at least 6 months, we all struggle with this notion of, I'm not myself. I haven't felt like myself. I don't even know who I am anymore, right? And if you can think back, if you're not newly postpartum or even within 5 years, 6 years, think back to how you felt after you gave birth. And you were different. You were not the same person anymore. But how do you come to terms with that? How do you recognize what is happening so that you can lean into it instead of against it? So I want to give you a little bit of an example, right? And I talk to my clients a lot about this. As the baby comes into this world, we're preparing it, right? We're helping to feed, we're changing their clothes, we're giving them baths, we're showing them how to, you know, make signs with your hands and noises with your mouths and all of these kinds of things. And they're learning from us. They're watching us. They're imitating us. We're their guide. You're showing them all of these firsts, how to do this, how to do that. But you are also learning these things for the first time, especially if you're a new mom. And guess what? Even as a second-time mom, there were still things I was learning. I was now learning how to be a parent of two. I was learning how to divide my attention between two children after one was getting it for 2.5 years. Now I had to share this. So I'm still learning things. Every pregnancy afterwards, there were new things to learn, but there was nobody there to show me how to do it. I was also created during this time. And I talk about this in my Birthing Her workshop, right? You come into this world, you are pregnant, you are having this baby, and you give birth to two people during that process, the baby and you. And somehow we are only prepared for and plan for one of those births. And everything that happens afterwards just supports that, right? Here's the whole thing. Everybody's showing up for stuff with the baby. We're getting gifts. We're getting burp cloths. We're getting blankets out the wazoo. Pacifier, don't use a pacifier, bonnets, gloves, sleepers, diapers, all of these things. But there's not a single thing given to mom during that time, right? Yes, a friend might stop by, has, a meal for you or maybe a drink or something, but there's no actual guidance as how to do your job. And then you sit in this space with this new baby and you're like, what am I doing? And this little baby's looking up at you, trusting you with everything they have because they don't know any better. And you enter into conflict with the old you that's like, what the hell are we doing here? You're not cut out for this. And the new you that is desperately trying to come out and say, yes, I do know what I'm doing. Yes, this was meant for me. Yes, I'm supposed to be here and doing all of this. But nobody's telling you that. Nobody's walking you through that process. So when you begin to experience some feelings of depression, some things, stirring up some anxiety within you, it gives it just enough room to really do some damage on you. And you find yourself questioning your abilities, your decisions, your judgments, all of these things, which end up harming you. They become things that are unhealthy for you. You start to think, maybe I shouldn't be a mom. Maybe this was a bad decision. And then you start to question everything from there on out. And the issue is not whether or not you are capable or should have been a mom. It's the fact of allowing this natural process to occur without resistance, right? You are evolving. You are becoming a mom for the first time. You are becoming a mom of two. You are becoming a mom of three, whatever it is at this point. You are evolving. But when we are resistant to that evolution, we have conflict. The old me is not going down without a fight. And she is telling me this was a bad idea. What are we doing? You don't know what you're doing. And the new me is like, give me a shot. So you start to sense that internal conflict. And the thing is, we inherently want to push that away, right? Because the old me is safe and comfortable. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I show up. I know what my expectations are of myself. I don't know this new person. And she doesn't know what she's supposed to be doing either. So let's just keep going where we are, which is not healthy. That's not the practice. The whole purpose is to allow for this process. But the other thing about this process is it is scary as shit. You not only have this new baby in your life looking up at you, and you're still mesmerized, wondering, how did this even happen? But now there's this new you itching to come out, and your knee-jerk reaction is to suppress that person from coming out without realizing that that person is going to be exactly who needs to be here in order to get you where you're going, in order to teach your baby how to do all of these things. That old you doesn't know how to do that. That's where the conflict arises. The old you was like, this is not for us. No, it's not for you. So step aside and let this new you come out and evolve. I was a mom that was like, I won't change when I have kids. I'm still going to get up and do this and do me. And I laugh all the time because it's like, that was cute, And there's still now times where I'm like, I've got to be able to do this. I've got to be able to, and I don't recognize the conflict that's there. There are times now where I am still supposed to be evolving. I still have hard seasons. I deal with other kinds of challenges that we don't talk about, we don't prepare for. But the one thing that remains the same is I have to push that aside and let this evolution happen. Because I'm in conflict right now because I'm not letting the person come to the forefront that is equipped to handle the situation. So I'm in that seat, I'm in the struggle, I'm in the chaos, I'm in the turmoil because I'm trying to figure things out that I'm not equipped to figure out. And I need to push that to the side and let this new person unfold and handle the situation. It's like people say, you know what your assignment is, you understood the assignment. The assignment I have is taking care of these kids, but I've got the wrong person in position to do the work. I have all the key players, they're just not in the right positions. And it's this sense of I don't want to let go of who I was. And I'm here to tell you, I've never been the same since I've had my kids. And you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to change. Not everything. You're allowed to keep some stuff. It's okay. There's no rule book on what you need to bring into this next level of you, but you have to change. And if you're in a place right now where you're experiencing that turmoil or that conflict or really feeling pulled away from this new role or being pulled away from just maintaining contact with your children and being engaged with them, you have to take a step back and ask yourself, like, what is happening here? What am I suppressing? What am I not seeing? What am I not recognizing? And it takes a long time. It took me a long time to recognize that two versions of me can't coexist. They cannot. Pieces of me can exist in a new version of me. That is absolutely fine. And that's how it goes. And I've done episodes on that where you build on those previous versions to create kind of your super version. And that's what the hell you become as a mom, a super version of yourself. I have brought skills with me throughout several of these versions, but it doesn't stop. Like, you don't become a mom, get through, the first year or 2 years of your child's life, and then boom. Oh, okay, I'm a super power now. It doesn't work like that. You get there and then you kind of relax, you fall back, you chill out, you allow to like yourself to recover, recreate systems, do things like that. And then you go on to the next level. And the next and the next. So if you feel overwhelmed or incapable of doing some of the things that you're assigned to do right now in this role, whether you're 3 weeks postpartum, 8 months postpartum, 12 years postpartum, if there's a conflict that's arising internally, that's an indicator that something has to give. That's an indicator that there might be a process here that you've been suppressing for 12 years. There's been a version of you that's been trying to be born alongside, but has no idea what they're supposed to do. And that's typically where a coach comes in and walks you through that process because it's not easy. It's easy for somebody else to look in that's trained and see what it is that's happening and provide some context and insight around it. But this notion of like holding on, I get it. Believe me, there were things I did not want to give up, and I was going to stay up late and I was going to do this and I didn't, I'm not going to wake up early in the morning. If you would have told me 5 years ago what my life would have looked like today, I would have laughed for several different reasons, but primarily because it's like I'm not going to stop doing the things that I want to do. And nobody's telling you that. Nobody's saying you can't do this anymore. You can't go here anymore. You can't do. There are some things that you will be physically limited to, and that's just a reality. There will be other things that are unappealing. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to stop doing things for you. The things for you, the things that fuel you and fulfill you, are going to change. There were certain things I did before I had kids that validated my purpose. This makes me who I am. Being able to show up like this at this time of the day and do what I do makes me who I am. Fast forward, I have kids. I can't do that anymore. And quite frankly, that doesn't support this version of me. And I know that. And as much as I miss being able to do some of the stuff I did, I enjoyed doing it and it was gone. And it's just not easy. It didn't take me 3 weeks to say, well, you know what? There was a period of grief, of mourning that I had to recognize and sit through and be okay with before I was able to really fully step into another version. And there were lots of conflicts, internally, externally, all sorts of things. But it was a sign to me that things weren't adding up. I was missing the mark somewhere. And the reality of it was, again, this notion that I didn't want to change, or the idea that things will just be this way for a while. That wasn't the case either. Things changed and then they stayed changed for quite some time. But how do you work through that? How do you understand it? And that's what I kind of walk through in that workshop, and that PDF is setting up your environment differently, right? You think about if you had a physical ailment, and many moms out there have had C-sections. I'm one of them twice over. Steps, they were kind of difficult. Bed, nobody prepared me for the inability to lay in my bed. All I thought about after giving birth was, oh my God, I'll finally be able to sleep again. Not really sure where I got that one from. But then I couldn't lay in the bed because then I couldn't get up from the bed unless somebody was there to help me. And I, like most other alpha females, was not going to ask my husband to help me get up out of bed so I can go pee in the middle of the night. I wasn't going to do that. So what did I do? I had to change my environment. I had to sleep on the recliner for a little while, either in my daughter's room or downstairs. That's just what had to happen. But I also had to get rid of some stuff that was like not supporting my environment. So maybe I didn't need to have my weight bench around and, a fluorescent light and all of these things. I needed cool, soft, calm because that's where I was right now. I was in that soft era. I was in that comfort space. I was seeking compassion and love and recovery. I didn't want anything in my environment that was outside of that. So yes, new blankets, new pillows, new fuzzy slippers, socks, things that made me feel good, a pretty robe. I set my environment up to embrace the new me that I knew was also birthed on those days. Now, I didn't do this for my first pregnancy because I had not a clue what was happening or what was going on. But my second pregnancy, I definitely did. I changed up my environment to make it more conducive to what it is that I needed to do. Just like you set up your baby's room, you set up your room. Make it work for you. Make your environment be warm, supportive, calling out to you in different ways. Pay attention to the little things that are in your way or serve you or make you feel imbalanced at some point, right? But check those things out. Get a comfy chair. You're going to spend some time in a chair, possibly nursing, doing all sorts of things. Make sure your sights and sounds line up. The environment, the temperature in the environment is paramount as well. If it's hot, I'm hot. I'm bothered. I'm all sorts of things. But if I can keep it nice and cool, then this is what it is. Your environment will be ever evolving, right? And this is where, you think back probably when you were a little girl, you were like switching up your room was like you swore you bought a new house. It was like, oh, look at all the room I uncovered and look at all this stuff. But that was because you were changing. Right? Maybe you were a little girl and you had a canopy bed, and then you got a little bit older and you changed it to a different kind of bed. It's because a new you was coming about all of these times. And you look back now like, damn, yes. But you can still be doing those things now, right? Looking at your support system, who are they? Who's in your life right now? And newsflash, you're going to lose some friends when you become a mom. You're going to gain some friends when you become a mom. You get to decide who was in your life supporting this. So, if there were some people that were a little on the fence in the old version of you, feel free to evict them. If they're not bringing peace and joy into your life, feel free to say goodbye. Now is your time, right? Look at your mom groups. Are there people in the group that can support this version of you? Virtual friends, family members, daycare providers, they become your environment, your support systems. And recognizing that sometimes it's okay to just be alone too and figure out who the hell you are. Spending so much time on social media and measuring up and all this comparison game is so difficult. But looking at some of these areas, looking at your routine, what does your routine look like right now? Maybe you were somebody that slept in a lot and didn't do much during the day. I bet you're really busy now. Regardless, again, what season you're in, because every season brings a different level of change, different steps, different moves to make, right? But what is your routine looking like? Getting yourself a template. You got your bingo card, you have your daily checklist options, all sorts of things to pull from. But your routine matters, right? Because it's what you do for yourself. So how are you structuring your day? Are you finding any time for yourself? Are you moving your body? What is your career looking like, right? Like these are things that you want to begin exploring as you're evolving and being flexible. Change is so hard. We fear change so much. We are so resistant to it. And oftentimes it's because it is necessary to make these changes. You might have to switch up that routine. Like I said, I used to stay up late. Oh, I had a good time. I'd get up at 7, take a shower. I couldn't tell you the last time I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I really couldn't. And it's like, that's what has happened. I said I would never do it, and now I do it. I'm up at 4:30. Where in the world have I gone? I'm still here because there's still a piece of me that can hang until 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's definitely a piece of me that wants to sleep way past seven. But the new me desires different things. And in order to do that, I have to follow this routine. So being flexible and understanding like things are going to have to change and investing in personal development, whether it's books, it's podcasts, it's coaching services, it's, I mean, anything, journalizing, journaling, writing a letter to yourself, learning how to get the best use out of your time, right? There's never a perfect time to get started with anything. Never a perfect time to start a new routine, a sleep routine, none of that stuff, right? The only timeline that really matters is yours and your baby's when it comes to, their milestones. But in all actuality, like looking at your personal development, like go now, start reading some books now about evolution, about motherhood, about different versions of you, about positive thinking, things of that nature, things that are going to support you and fuel you. But look where you're spending your time, how you're spending your time. And I often tell my new moms, get off social media. Yes, it's great to be able to like detach, but you're not actually detaching. Detaching is putting Netflix on and then getting on social media. You've completely detached from the movie, right? And you're somewhere else. But if you want to detach, get lost in a book, not social media. The comparison game is disgusting. And I don't care what mother it is that's out there, all the nannies she might have, personal chefs, husbands, whatever it is. We're all falling apart in one area of motherhood. Because it's impossible to keep it all together at the same time. It just is. And even if you do it for a second, right? It's a balancing game. Something will eventually topple over. So normalizing that. Get off of social media. It's really not serving you. And again, you're probably looking at things through the eyes of the person you once were. You're not ready to step into that new you. And when you are, maybe you unfollow a whole bunch of people. Maybe you follow some new accounts. Find the things that fuel you as this new version. You're not supposed to stay the same. You're not. And that's probably one of the hardest pills to swallow in the postpartum period, is that feeling of I've lost myself. And half of that's true. You've lost pieces of yourself, but they weren't serving you anyway. And in order to grow new skin, to be able to withstand the weather and storms and all the things that are coming with motherhood, you have to shed some of the old to make room for that. So just trust if you are in that place right now, you're meant to be in that place. Because evolution can't occur if you consistently just stay who you are in that environment without stepping outside and embracing what is ahead of you. So I just want to be able to give one mom out there today just the feeling of normalization that yes, it is okay to be in this situation right now and hate it. It is okay to feel conflicted with how you really feel about your situation. And it's okay to say out loud, I'm not happy. It's not okay to ignore those things and just continue to trudge through life. You're not doing yourself any justice. You're not doing your baby any justice, anybody else in your life any justice. And the longer you ignore this evolution, the longer you try to suppress who it is that's evolving out of this process, the more layers you're going to have to peel back eventually in life to really uncover the source of the conflict. So don't spend your time doing that if you can prevent it. So awareness. Feeling this. So, if anything I said today resonated, is there some conflict in your life right now? Are there some things happening around you that you feel unsettled about? And if the answer is yes, I would then ask you, are you avoiding something? Are you resistant to some level of change in your life? And again, whether your kids are 3 weeks old or 30 years old, there is always, 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 always a new challenge arising as their mother. So learning to figure out how to process your own stuff so that you can excel and be present and do the things that you need to do as their mother, all while taking care of yourself and making sure that you're doing your absolute best in your new role. So again, thank you for tuning in today. I hope that this was helpful and didn't overcomplicate things a bit more, I do have a free guide that I offer to moms called Birthing Her. You can find that on the website and download it. It's a nice little resource that walks you through kind of those areas that I talked about, your environment, personal development, your support systems, your routines, things like that. And if you're listening to this and you're a mom that's, maybe a year out postpartum and you're returning to quote life, as you may know it, or redefining what that life looks like. Maybe you're a mom that's 13 years postpartum and you're like, I've had an aha moment recently, and this is what it has put me in position to do. Fill out the form in the show notes. I would love to talk with you, highlight your story, and be able to share with other moms that we are not alone. So, as always, thank you for tuning in. I'll talk to you soon.